right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. I'm joined by Mr. Pardy Kalika. Again, he is the executive director of the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee. You know, as you watch what's happening in this community, actually, you can not just say in the community, because what's happening in our community is just a microcosm of what's happening all over the world. We can't seem to bring people together on one accord, to basically, save this creation, this society. And I don't understand, party, why... I'm going to say it, might anger some folk, but now is the time, I've always said, for the man of God, the religious leaders, to step forward when you watch what's happening in our community and people dying, kids dying, children not believing that their lives have any value. I talk with kids who are 12 years old who don't think their life has any value. They're willing to lose their lives before they ever get a chance to live. Yeah. How do we get beyond that?
Yeah, Earl, going back to when August 5th, 2012 happened, and again, like you said, I didn't show my anger, but we felt anger.
Right.
And when you're called out, either by, you or by society or by God, we should always kind of feel called out. And we should embrace that anger, and we should be angry. And we should. There's no reason that we should be content to say, "Hey, life is going on like this."
Right.
And you're right. Right now, there's so many people who are suffering. I never want to be naive about it. I never want to say, "Hey, you know what?" But this is when we do got to make sure that God is reaching the streets, God is reaching houses, God is reaching families, God is reaching individuals. One of the things that I ask people all the time, and I get to talk to students, and over the past 10 years, I've talked to more than 20,000 students in nearly every school district all over the country.
Right.
And one of the questions that I ask people, after the talk, students come up to you and they let you know, "Hey, I'm suicidal. I want to hurt somebody. I want to do this. I want to do that." And I ask them, I said, do you feel alone? And oftentimes they'd say, "Yeah, I feel alone." And I'm like, "You're never alone. You're never, ever, ever alone. Just like you felt that push, I feel that push, other people feel that push. Nobody is ever alone. We may feel that way. And loneliness in those moments of crisis, right, leads you to feel like my life is not worth living. So why don't I go ahead and steal this car? Why don't I go and do this? Why don't I go hit this lick?" Right? All of those things in those moments of crisis. In those moments of crisis, they need to know. And this is the time, as we think about Easter, Ramadan, and all these things, all of those things are asking us to fight the devil. It's to fight Satan. It's to fight the evil spirits that are harboring our hearts. And so within those moments, it's us. The people of God who have to make sure that other people have God within their life.
Man, we've got District Attorney John Chisholm, who's going to be joining us after you. And so he's dealing with these people who create the crimes and who are doing the things that they're doing. But it's always been strange to me that the wealthiest nation on earth and the nation that touts itself as the greatest nation on earth has some of the worst problems on earth. Many other nations who don't have the resources to feed the people properly, to educate their people, to do the types of things that this nation can do, has the kinds of issues and problems that we have. And I maintain it's because, we say that we have been founded under the Judeo-Christian ethic. We may say that, but we're not living that, and we're not following that. And I think it's one of the reasons why we're dealing with what we're dealing with.
Yeah, no, you're right. One of the things that, if you come from India, and I came here from when I was 6 years old, if you go back there and you see the level of desperation and starvation, right, and all these things, you know that a person is not going to live. If you see a person walking around and they are skinny, there's no system that's going to keep that person from dying.
Right.
You just know they're going to die because that person doesn't have enough food to eat.
Right.
You're right. In this country, that's not the existence of where we are. We are a first world nation who just has been harbored by these spirits of separation, as you call it, and evil, to say, what can we can't do this, but there's no reason why we should be in this spiritual crisis.
So when you are sitting down and having dialogue with all of these different denominations, all of these different religions, and at the root of all of them, again, is humanity, and making humanity better. How does that, when that conversation that's being had, you know, across all those different religions, how do you bring that all together?
Yeah, no, it's tough because there are different faiths, and those different faiths have different entities that they have to answer to.
But right.
I think the one common question that we come back to is how, again, like what we started with, how is it that we're serving?
Right.
What is it that we're doing? And that cuts through a lot of that other stuff. Our religious beliefs, our ideology, our you know, the history of it is very important for us to learn. And so it's important to teach. It's important to have relationships and educational programming. But ultimately, it should lead us to action and committing to action. So I tell people, I said, you know, I'm not an inspiration speaker, because inspiration only lasts for a couple of minutes,
right,
or an hour, right? Look at anybody who has a New Year's resolution. Right. And by now, they're not doing it.
Right.
Right. But what we need to engage in is being commitment speakers and holding people accountable and saying, hey, if it is, you know, John, if you, you know, as the district attorney, how are you going to commit to this despite what may have happened in Waukesha? Because I can tell you from, you know, my history of dealing with the criminal justice system, once you lock somebody up and you sentence them, there's too many spirits in there that are going to get to that person,
right,
that's going to have them come out worse. So how are you intentionally making sure that people, when they come out of the criminal justice system, once, if they are punished or incarcerated, how do they come back and show up for their family, for their loved ones, for their communities? Because remember, this person that's going off to jail is somebody's father.
So we also live at a time when it's easy to say, and your former officer, put more police on the street, lock up more people. And I keep saying that's never going to be the answer, because you'll never be able to find enough police or afford enough police or build even bigger and bigger prisons and jails to deal with people who are spiritually dead. Mm-hmm. When the people, many of the people who are out here and struggling on a daily basis, have no belief that there's anything or anybody that is going to, as you stated before, they feel all alone. Mm-hmm. And so how do you begin, and who is it that can change that, you know, reference of a person other than a person from the spiritual community?
Yeah,
but and so do they, in many instances, see that even if I'm from a different religious persuasion, that I still should be a part of trying to save another human being? Doesn't matter what, you know.
Yeah, sometimes what I see within, even if you think about prison and prison ministries and things like that, when the mom or a priest goes up to a person and talks to them, is they're giving them something. Lots of those programs are underly funded.
Yeah,
so right. So you don't have that sort of restorative portion of the criminal justice system. When I'm looking at it from a faith place or a former law enforcement place, and now as a mental health place, you're not going to get a person to go into, and it's tough, right? You're not going to punish a person into a better place.
Right. That's correct.
It's not going to happen. You're not going to take him away from his family and say, hey, okay, now let's be a better father. That's not going to happen. We've seen what that has done to this country, and that's what we're living with. We're dealing with families who are disunited, We're dealing with people who have suffered the consequences of irresponsible policies for a very long time. You're not going to police your way out of this. And I'll tell you, even from a clinical standpoint, if a person goes in and they have rage issues, or they have anger issues, or they have frustration issues, whatever they look like, a lot of times they come out of prison, or they come out with full-blown schizophrenia or something else, because of what they went through in locked up was so severe that they came out even worse. So it's not going to work.
You know, you talked about, so when you start locking up kids at young ages who basically have some psychological issues, and we are aware and people are aware that they have psychological issues. And as a society, we ignore that totally, mm-hmm. right? I mean, mm-hmm. well, they're a criminal and they created a crime, and never mind the fact that there's some psychological issues. Mm-hmm. You're a clinical guy too, man. I mean, I don't know how you ignore that part of it, you know.
Yeah. And I would say even, I think we go past ignoring. We almost want to absolve ourselves of that. So we rationalize it. We don't even, like, ignoring is, like, we're just willfully ignoring it, denying it, that it's even there, right? We don't learn about it. You're right. You're right about that. But some of us, we go so far as to rationalize it, and rationalizing means that person deserves that punishment right. because of what they did in their worst hour.
Yeah. Listen, we've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. My guest is Mr. Party Kalika. And again, he is the executive director of the Interfaith Conference of Greater Milwaukee. That's a long title.
Yeah, I know.
we've got to go to a break. We'll be right back.